Good morning. Welcome once again to our Sunday morning service of the Heritage Baptist Church. We're so glad for each one of our members who are able to join us online. Of course, we're not able to meet together publicly because of the situation that is going on in our world today. We're certainly happy for this ability to use technology, to be able to share our sermons with our church members, and then also with those who are visiting. Maybe you're online and you're just looking for some sermons and you happen to come across our site, and we'd like to welcome you to our service today as well. And our prayer is that the message today would be a blessing, would be a help, be an encouragement to you. Certainly we are living in some frightening times. We live in times when things are very fluid. Things are constantly changing. In fact, just on Friday afternoon, our Prime Minister here in Singapore made an announcement concerning some new guidelines that are going to be put in place in order to try to protect the people of Singapore from this virus. And certainly we're very thankful for that. We need to be continually praying for the leaders of our nation, that God will give them wisdom in these trying times in which we're facing, and also that God would help each one of us as his children to be faithful in our service to him. It's along that line that I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the opportunities of stress. The opportunities of stress. One of the great truths that we find in the Bible is that God has a special plan. He has a special purpose for every life. No matter who you are, no matter what your specific talents, what your specific abilities may be, God has a work that he's seeking to perfect in and through you. Now, this plan we might divide into three parts. First of all, God's plan is for you to be saved. That's where it all begins. It begins with salvation. That is recognizing our sinful condition, understanding that God has made a way of salvation that is not dependent on our abilities, our good works, but rather it's all through the finished work of Jesus Christ. When he who knew no sin took our sin upon himself, died in our place, so that we might be cleansed and forgiven, that we might have the wonderful gift of eternal life. That's God's plan for every person. God's plan for every person is that they might be saved. That's why the Bible in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible declares that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. In other words, it is not God's will for any person to die and go to hell. That's not God's will. God is not willing that any should perish. But here's what his will is, that all should come to repentance. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, the Apostle Paul basically makes the same statement when he says this concerning our God. He is the God who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's plan, God's purpose, it begins with our salvation. But then after we're saved, it's God's plan then for us to be glorified, number two. It's God's plan for us to be glorified. This is what we find stated in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, where the Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That is, after we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are born spiritually into God's family through that new birth. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God's plan for every one of us is that we might be saved, and then after we're saved, it's God's plan that we might be glorified. But between point one and point two, between those two things, during the days of this lifetime, it is God's plan for us, number three, to be useful. To be useful. Many times our usefulness to God, our usefulness to his plan, our usefulness to his purpose can only be accomplished when we are faced with stressful times in our lives. Now, last time we began a series, and we began by looking at the beginning of stress. And we learned that in the beginning of human history, there was no stress. We saw how that Adam and Eve were living in a perfect environment. And they were living life as the Creator intended for it to be. They were living a life without any stress at all. But then we saw how that because of their rebellion against God, because of their sin against God, two terrible things happened. First of all, sin entered into the world. And one of the results of that sin that came into the world was that their stress-free lives were now filled with stress. Their stress-free lives were now filled with stress. But then we saw how that God did two things for them. First of all, He provided for them a covering by shedding the blood of a sacrificial lamb. Their sins were covered. And the skins of those animals were then taken by God and used to cover their physical nakedness as well. And so there was a covering. But God also provided for them an escape. An escape by refusing Adam and Eve access to the tree of life. Man would now be able to die. You see, instead of having to continue living in a world full of sin, full of stress, God provided a way whereby men might actually go to be with their Creator and to be with their God in a place called heaven. But this raises a question. It raises a question as believers in Jesus Christ. Why does God allow us to stay in this world of sin? Why does He allow us to stay here in this world of stress? In other words, as soon as we receive Christ as our Savior, why doesn't He just take us to heaven so that we can escape all of this that is going on in our world today? Well, let me just give you some good news. One day, that's exactly what is going to happen. One day, that is exactly what is going to happen. The Bible declares it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes, "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air." Now notice the last little bit. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be. I hope you're ready for that. I hope if the trumpet were to sound right now and God was to call home all of those who put their faith and trust in Christ, I hope you'd be ready to go. If not, I hope you'll get it settled even today. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. Until that day comes, God allows us to stay in a world that is full of trouble, a world that is full of stress. And the reason is simply because through the stresses of life, there are four great opportunities that are given to us. And so let's begin by noticing number one. Through the stresses of life, we find that there are opportunities for witnessing. Opportunities for witnessing. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about by reminding you of the story of a man in the Bible by the name of Lazarus. You remember Lazarus and his two sisters. They were named Mary and Martha. And you remember that they lived in the little town called Bethany, which was just east of the city of Jerusalem. And this man and his two sisters were actually personal friends of the Lord Jesus. In fact, many times the Bible tells us that as Jesus would be passing through Bethany, he would stop and eat a meal at their home or perhaps even would spend the night with them. But there came a day in John chapter 11 when Lazarus became very sick. And so Mary and Martha sent word to inform the Lord Jesus of their brother's condition. The Bible says, very interestingly, that when Jesus received the word that his good friend, whom he loved, was sick, the Bible says that Jesus tarried. He tarried his coming. And therefore, by the time the Lord Jesus finally arrived in the city of Bethany, Lazarus had already been dead and in the grave for 4 days. But the Lord Jesus, you remember, went to the grave. With a loud voice, he cried out that great command, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says he that was dead came forth alive. Now, certainly this is a great miracle. But it also raises a very interesting question. And the question is simply, why did the Lord Jesus delay his coming? Why did he allow his good friend, one that he loved? Why did the Lord Jesus allow him to go through the stress of gasping for his last breath? Why did he allow his good friend to go through the stress of physically dying? And on the other hand, why did the Lord Jesus allow the two sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, why did he allow them to go through the stress of watching their beloved brother die? Certainly not an easy thing in any circumstance. Well, the answer to the question of why, the answer to the question is found in John chapter 11 and verse number 4. Before the miracle was ever performed, the Lord Jesus told his disciples what the outcome of all of this was going to be. In John chapter 11 and verse number 4, the Bible says, when Jesus heard that, in other words, when he heard that Lazarus was sick and things were not looking good for him, when Jesus heard that, he said, now here's what he said to his disciples, this sickness is not unto death, but, here's the reason, it's for the glory of God. For the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now the question then is, well, how did this stress cause God to be glorified? And how did this stress cause Jesus Christ to be glorified and exalted? And the answer is found, if you skip down to verse number 45, John chapter 11, 45, the Bible says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, notice the next three words, they believed on him. Believed on him. That's why as Christians, when we are facing stressful situations, and we will, it's all part of life. But when we face these stressful situations in life, we should never be given to complaining. We should never fall into the snare of self-pity. Rather, we should do as the Apostle Paul commanded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, when he said, in everything, give thanks. Now, I want you to notice here, the Apostle Paul did not command us to give thanks for everything. He didn't tell us to do that. But rather, he commanded us to give thanks in everything. In other words, regardless of the circumstance or the situation that we may be facing, while we are not thankful for that situation, in the midst of that situation, while we are going through it, we can be thankful. We can be thankful because we know that in every situation, our all-knowing God, our all-powerful God, our loving God, our God who makes no mistakes and our God who does all things well is in absolute control. Right now in many places it seems like things are out of control. And humanly speaking they are. But with our God, nothing is ever out of control. He is in control of all that goes on around us. And so in the stresses of life, we have opportunities to witness. Not only do we have opportunities to witness, number two, there are also opportunities for ministering. Opportunities for ministering. The Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse number 4, here's what he said. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Another word we could put there would be in every stressful situation. God is our comfort because we know of his knowledge, his power, his wisdom, his goodness, his mercy. Every situation, it is a comfort for us. Now notice it. He comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. In other words, God comforts us in our stressful times. And one of the reasons God does that is so that when we can turn around and give comfort to others during their stressful situations. And we do that, notice it, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Ginger and I, through no choice of our own, had to wait for 17 years before God gave to us a child. I will be very honest with you. Those were frustrating years. They were stressful years. And one of the stresses that came was simply because of the fact that sometimes people were so cruel. They didn't mean to be. They were not malicious about it. But sometimes they would come and they would ask the question, what's wrong? Don't you want children? Well, Ginger would go home and she would cry a bucket of tears because deep down inside, there was nothing she wanted more than to have a child. There's nothing she wanted more than that. However, through those years, God helped us and encouraged us in a very special way. And now, since God has given us two precious sons, we've had many opportunities now to encourage young couples who were desiring to have children, but they were not able to do so. The point I want to make is simply this. You cannot really help someone until you have walked in their shoes. You cannot really empathize with someone until you have been where they are. And so therefore, if we had not gone through those 17 years of frustration and trouble, we would never have been able to really understand or to help or to encourage other couples who were childless. I can remember that there were times before we had children when people with two or three kids and one on the way, they would come up and they would try to encourage us by saying, we understand how you feel. And I would always smile and I would be nice. I would say, thank you so very much. I appreciate that. But deep down inside, I was thinking to myself, you're a liar because you don't understand how I feel until you've had 17 years of childlessness. No way you can understand. No way you can understand how I feel. You get the idea? The bottom line is simply this. God allows us to face stressful times so that we might be prepared, so that we might be equipped, so that we might be able to minister to others who are facing the same stresses in their lives. Opportunities for ministry. Not only that, I want you to notice number three. It is through the stresses that we face in life that God gives to us opportunities for growing. Opportunities for growing. The Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the church at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." And I want you to notice here that the Apostle Paul, he was thankful for this body of believers, this church that was there in the city of Thessalonica. He rejoiced as he heard how that this was a group of people who were not stagnant, but they were growing, first of all, in their faith. And notice, they weren't just growing, they were growing, the Apostle Paul said, exceedingly. But they were growing in their faith, and also they were growing in their love for one another. And not just loving each other more, but the Apostle Paul said they were abounding in love. Abounding in love. But the question is, why were they growing? What was the thing that stimulated that growth? The answer is found in verse number 4, if you'll notice it with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 4. He says, for your patience and faith, notice it, in your persecutions and tribulations. In other words, the key to their growth was that they had a patience and they had a faith that sustained them even during extremely stressful times. I read a report just this past week. The Pew Research Center on the 30th of March stated that since this coronavirus pandemic began, 55% of American adults have started praying. Interesting, is it not? 55% of American adults have started praying, and 86% of those Christians who were praying before, now they're praying even more. And by the way, let me just tell you that that's a very good thing. That's a very good thing. Because you see, the Lord God said way back in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, if my people, notice he's not talking to the unsaved, unbelieving world. He's talking to his people, those who know him, those who have a relationship with him. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So God allows us. God allows us to have these stressful times in our lives because it's through those stressful times that we actually grow as believers in Christ. We actually mature in our faith. And it's during those times of stress that our selfish focus is destroyed and our love and our concern and our compassion, our care for other believers grows stronger. Stressful times, opportunities for growing. I want you to notice last of all, number four, God allows stressful times to come into our life because in those stressful times, we find opportunities for protection. Opportunities for protection. When the Apostle Paul arrived in the city of Lystra during his first missionary journey, there was a crippled man who was wondrously healed by the power of God. As a result of that healing, the people of the city, they actually wanted to build an altar and they wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas. But they were a very fickle people. They were very quickly given to change. Because just a short time later, some Jewish troublemakers showed up and they began to stir things up. And as a result of that, the people of Lystra now, instead of wanting to worship the Apostle Paul, now they wanted to stone him. And that's exactly what they did. They stoned the Apostle Paul. They dragged his city outside, or dragged his body outside of the city, rather, Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Later on, the Apostle Paul would write about that experience. Here's what he said about it. It's found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 and following, the Apostle Paul said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So the Apostle Paul has this amazing experience. He's caught up into heaven. He's caught up into heaven, and there he is able to see things that he's not even able to talk about. He goes up into heaven, but he cannot come back and write a book about it, make a movie about it, or all the things that many people do today. God's clear command was, you don't talk about what you have seen. Now, if you go down to verse number 7, you'll notice what he said. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, this thorn of the flesh that the Apostle Paul refers to here, it's not identified for us. But personally, I believe it was an eye problem that he had. That's why those Galatian believers in Galatians chapter 4, verse 15, those believers in Galatia said that they were willing to pluck out their own eyes and give them to the Apostle Paul if it had been possible, that they were willing to do that. But here's the point. Regardless of what that thorn of the flesh may have been, it was because of that thorn in the flesh that the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he," that's God, "he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," most gladly, no, he's not complaining, but he's rejoicing. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities." Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." I want you to understand this morning that there is nothing that will destroy us spiritually. There's nothing that will destroy our usefulness to God quicker than pride. Pride. Therefore, God allowed the Apostle Paul. He allowed the Apostle Paul to live with a stress of a physical debilitating ailment. He allowed Paul to live with that, to suffer with that, so that he might continue to be an effective minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was by the stress of a physical ailment that the Apostle Paul was kept from being lifted up with pride, by attaining some attitude of spiritual superiority because of the wonderful things that he had seen and experienced in the third heaven. But not only that, it was by the things that he suffered, by the physical ailment that God allowed him to endure, that the Apostle Paul was able to know the power of Christ in his life and in his ministry. Because the Apostle Paul understood that. Because he understood that important truth. Notice what he said. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. "Therefore," based on all of what he had just said, "therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses." So that simply means stressful times. He says, "I take pleasure in all of that," notice it, "for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." In other words, the Apostle Paul's physical weakness forced him to lean more completely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul discovered, as many other saints through the centuries have learned, that when a man is leaning on Christ, he is actually stronger than he's ever been before. Now the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the fact is we will never escape from the stresses of this life. However, that's not a bad thing. Because it is through these stressful times that God is able to do a special work in and through us, which could never be accomplished otherwise. It's through the stressful times in our lives that we have opportunities for witnessing. It's during the stressful times in our life that we have an opportunity for ministering. In other words, helping others who are facing the same stresses that we have faced. It's during the opportunities that, or during the stressful times that we have opportunities for growing closer to God, growing closer to one another. And it's during those stressful times that we find opportunities for protection from a pride that would cause us to be unusable in the hand of God. And even though we may understand these things, the question remains, how can we keep from being overcome by the stresses of life that seem to build up and overpower us so easily and so quickly? So that'll be the subject of our discussion next time. But as we bring this to a close, let me give you one point to remember. One point to remember. When our Heavenly Father allows stressful situations to come into our lives, we do have a choice. We cannot help what the circumstances are. but we can help how we respond to those circumstances. So we can respond, first of all, in a positive way. We can respond realizing that with the stress, there are these great opportunities that God has given to us. Or we can respond in a negative way. We can begin complaining. We can become filled with self-pity. And as a result, we totally miss the opportunities that God has given for us. Let me give you a final word. A final word. Think about it this week. Don't waste your stresses. Don't waste them. But allow God to use the stresses that you are facing to do even more for His honor and for His glory. Let's pray.